Hi, this is Jay Hart with another edition of Amazing Mets Alumni Podcast, and my special guest this week is Todd Hundley. Hey, Todd, last year you came to Citi Field in part of our alumni program. We're nice enough to we had a nice conversation with Pete Alonso. What were your first impressions of meeting Pete?
Well, at first, it's actually how big he is. He's a he's a big boy. I don't know his numbers, but I imagine 6'3", 6'4", 220, 230. And, so then physically, he's a big man. And then it was, it was really good to see the level head he had, or he has. Because it's not easy to hit that many home runs consistently. And, and he's got that level head on him. But the thing that impressed me most about him is he's more of a pure, hitter. He hits the ball solid the other way. And, when he has to, he can pull it. But he's just such a big man and, still had a soft front foot and a, quick swing.
So talk about the pressure plate, he wind up hitting 53 home runs his rookie season. He broke the record you would Carlos Beltran.
It's incredible. I mean that many home runs, 53 in your first year, it's incredible. It's mind boggling. But yeah, the pressure of it is
especially in New York, Todd. As you well know, New York is a different city.
Yeah, it's constant. It's every second, you can hear about it on the radio, wherever. To be expected to do it and then do it, is a whole different story. If you go and hit whatever 53 by accident, they know it and they, okay, we're not going to expect that. But when they know how good you are and they expect it again and again and again, that's a different level of playing altogether, really. The other teams are looking for your holes in your swing all the time. They've got scouts on you, the teams that you're going to play in a couple of days, their scouts are there. They're looking for holes in your swing. And so you have to just keep adjusting, to the pitchers. And still be productive. And that's what is, really impressive about him, especially being so young, that he has the patience. He's patient enough to take the walk when he has to.
Todd, your career, you came up at 20 years old in 1990 with second round draft pick. And it didn't go great for you in the beginning. So could you... how long did it really take you to adjust to, playing in New York and being a clear, what are the expectations of being a second round draft?
Yeah, playing, in New York it was probably about 3 years, till I was 100% comfortable, 3-4 years. I knew the city, once guys get to know the city and where they are, it's amazing, the difference that it makes. It makes you feel like you're more at home. So once I got, like that, then I could relax and just play. But the hitting, I was never known, for my hitting. And when I first came up, I wasn't a good hitter at all. And kind of learned at the big league level how to hit. And, with Tom McCraw, as our hitting coach, then, without him, I wouldn't be anywhere. I probably would have been out of the lineup a long time ago. But Mac kept working with me and had confidence in me, and he really turned me around.
I know a big guy who was helped you in the early part of career. Could be wrong. You came up from Jackson in '90. Clint Herder was your manager there, and I know Clint played a big part in your get you started.
He did. Clint was I had a great time with Clint. Everybody does, really. He's you know, he's a player's manager. He makes it. He understands the grind, so he makes it, you know, as fun as he can. He has a great personality, and you know, and it, as hot as it gets in Jackson, Mississippi, in the summertime, you know, it's tough to get the extra work in the early hitting and so on and so forth. But with Clint, you know, he was in such great shape at the time. We would go out and, you know, he'd throw an hour of batting practice, you know, early at 1 or 2 o'clock in the afternoon when it was 102 degrees out with 100% humidity, you know. And so he put that effort in, and that's, you know, how I just got better, you know, just putting in the time and the reps with Clint. And we had a great team that summer also.
Yeah, Tommy, I know you told me, maybe I have my facts screwed up. Did you have a conversation with Dallas Green one time? Did he wanted to change your hitting style? He said, give me a chance to hit my way, and if it doesn't work out, I'll do your way. Maybe I got my facts straight. And wasn't that some kind of conversation you had with Dallas?
Yeah. You know, Dallas, he came and said, I love Dallas. He wanted me to choke up on the bat and hit the ball the other way. So, okay. So Tom McCraw and I, you know, started doing that in the batting cage, so on and so forth. And it just did not feel good at all to me. Just didn't feel comfortable. So I went to Dallas and I said, Skip, I'm sorry, but I can't do this. I can't hit like this. And if I'm going to go down, meaning if you're going to send me back down to AAA or release me or trade me, you know, I got to go down my way. And if I don't, you know, it'll be tough to live with myself. And Dallas said, I get it. I understand exactly what you're saying. So he said, but okay, then you're going to sit on the bench for 2 weeks if you're not going to choke up and do what we ask. I said, all right, that's fine. Then I'm gonna have to sit on the bench. So I sat on the bench, and after about 10 days, he called me back in, you know, and said, you know, what do you think? Da da. And I said, well, how about this deal, Skip? How about if I get 2 hits a night? And this was, by this time, it's late August in the season. And I said, Skip, if I get 2 hits a night, can I play the next day? And he said, yeah, that's a deal. And I actually, Jay, they wanted me to go to a smaller bat. They want me to go to a 33-inch bat and slap it the other way. And I actually went to a bigger bat, went to a 35-inch bat, 35.5-inch bat, and got right on top of the plate and just started to pull everything. So it basically took the outside corner of the plate away from the pitcher, and which was, well, the whole plate was bad for me. But, you know, those were the tough pitches that on me were the ones down the way. And so I just went to a bigger bat.
Todd, let's jump ahead. September 1996, you're chasing Roy Campanella's record, most home runs by a catcher. You know, Roy is an icon in New York, great Brooklyn Dodger catcher. How much pressure did you feel that's before you finally hit number 41 against Greg McMichael and the Braves?
There was a ton of pressure. You know, Jay, through the summer, as the summer was going, you know, obviously I never thought I'd ever hit close to 41 home runs. Bernard Gilkey and Lance Johnson, you know, had joined the team that winter. And right from day one in spring training, all three of us got along real well and basically pushed each other, you know, and we just made each other better players. So, you know, as the summer was going, it's kind of like, yeah, I knew I had, you know, some home runs, so on and so forth, but again, I was just concentrating more with Bernard and Lance. And then I remember we were in, I think it was Pittsburgh, and after I hit a home run, and then after the game, you know, we had whatever month left, and I was 10 away,
And Jay, you came up and told me about it. And, you know, that, hey, you know about Roy Campanella's record, so on and so forth. And it just took me back. I was like, holy cow. Because I would never think my name would ever be said in the same sentence as Roy Campanella. And when, you told me that, and then it started to, the media started to pick up on it, and it was, I just had to change my schedule a little bit to give the media more time, during the day.
I remember that.
And we just had to give them whatever, maybe another extra half hour or hour. And then talking to Roy's wife, and she
was like, Rexy, her name was, and she passed away a couple of years ago.
Yeah. And she gave me her blessing, and in LA. And, after I talked to her and she gave me her blessing, then it took a lot of pressure off, actually.
Yeah.
And then it was just play.
There was a lot of good catch, and then Javi Lopez wound up getting a couple more than you, but that always means record book. In 97, Todd, you hit 30 home runs, you make an all-star team, but then really at the end of 97, you hurt your elbow, right? You had surgery?
Yeah, I blew out my ligament. It had been kind of, fraying for a couple years. And then that one night, I swung at a pitch, and I swung and missed like I did a lot. And my elbow just, I felt something pop, and I couldn't feel my hand. And I was walking around, and the umpire's going, "Hey, Todd, what are you doing?" And I'm just trying to get my feeling back in my hand, And I looked down, and there was a big old spike still in the grass, from batting practice. So I'm looking for, time to stall. And I told the umpire, I'm like, "Hey, man, there's a big old spike right here from batting practice." And, oh, yeah. So he pulls it up and da-da-da. And I still can't move my hand. So, and that was strike one. And so then I took, two more swings and struck out, and I get back to the dugout, and Fred Hina, the trainer at the time, and he knew about my elbow. And I said, "I think it's done." And he's like, "All right." I said, "But hang on, let me go catch, throw it back to the pitcher, see what happens." And he's like, "All right." So I go back out and go throw it back, couldn't make it halfway back to the mound. And pitcher was like, "What are you doing?" And I was like, "Just throw me another one." I tried again, couldn't make it back. I'm like, "I'm done."
Yeah. And then you had surgery. So let me jump into 98. I remember you didn't start to play that year until July. But then in May, the Mets get Mike Piazza. When we made the trade, Todd, what was your feeling? You knew something was not going to be the same, right? We got Mike, came over.
I mean, when you get a player of that caliber, he was just, awesome as a being, competing against him. You've got that competitive drive and so on, and you want to beat him, so on and so forth. But with Mike, it was just like, man, this guy is just special. He's just one of those players that don't come along very often, and especially at the catcher's position. And as a person, we got along fine. Mike is a great guy, and we had a good time. And so, yeah. And business wise, for the Mets, that's the best thing they could have done. So I
left field, right? You tried to go out to left field.
Yeah, so then I just doing rehabbing, and I said to Bobby Valentine, I said, "Hey, Bobby, if I, because, watching these guys in the outfield, they make it look so easy. I said, "Can I try the outfield?" And he's like, "Yeah, go down to minor leagues and check it out." And it was just a lot tougher than I expected, again. A lot tougher than I thought it would be. And after a while, I just went and said to Bobby, I said, "Bobby, I'm not helping this team at all. So, you can take me out of lineup if you want." And he said, okay. And
then the trade, which I could get traded to Dodgers. But looking back, Todd, he was a great Mets career, a record year. You know, when the fans loved you, you always never shunned an autograph. You always liked to BS with the people in the stands. Remember, you had your own fan club. I mean, so overall, playing in New York was a great experience for you, right? 9 years you were there?
Oh, yeah. It was, yeah. The people in New York are, they're a special breed. And you know exactly where you stand with them. And again, that just after, the couple years, doing that and getting to know the fans and it just made me more comfortable also in New York and the fans the fans are great people there and it was a great experience. The Mets are one of the classiest organizations in baseball and but I tell you what though, Jay, what was most incredible. And I know this is, but you would come in. So then, long story short, say if I forgot to leave tickets for somebody, so then
I have a big head.
Jay would, yeah. So Jay would come. Jay, you'd be walking through the clubhouse, and I'd say, "Hey, Jay, I forgot to leave these tickets. I need 2 tickets for whatever." And you'd be like, "Okay." And I'd watch you walk away, and I'd see every other player asking you about
something. I had those yellow pieces of paper, Todd. I used to stuff them in my pocket.
Oh, say that I know better, Jay.
Yeah, well.
And then I would sit there and think, there's no way it's going to get done, but you got it done every day.
No way. I would stuff them in my pockets, and I forgot some things, but not most.
No, you didn't, Jay. You are the absolute best.
Yeah, well, I'd be a good guy, Todd. And before we go, you were number 9 for your dad. Randy was a top catcher with the Cubs. And I know, was it true? Did you grow up a Met fan, even though you're in Chicago?
Thurman Munson. Thurman Munson was my hero. But then Mets win it in 86. And then the next year, I got drafted by him. And I was a fan of the Mets.
Did you ever kid your dad about the 69 Mets beat the Cubs?
Oh, yeah. All the time. And it was just a different time, then. And then once you see when the Cubs did win the World Series, how these fans are, then it kind of all makes sense.
Did your dad ever tell you the story about the Black Cat in Shea Stadium? With a black cat.
Oh, yeah.
We came in front of the dugout, kind of spooked the Cubs. But those were.
We've got that in his basement of his house. That is all.
With a picture with a cat walking in front of the dugout.
It's all documented on our basement wall.
Well, Mr. Hunter, you're a good friend all these years, and I appreciate you joining us. And, stay healthy and. Hopefully, when the time's a little bit more quieter, we can get together and see you again. I enjoyed your visit to Citi Field last year, and hope we can do it again in the not-too-distant future.
Absolutely, Jay. I really appreciate it.
Thanks again, Paul.